Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. Glad you've tuned into the program today. In the first half hour of our program, we're going to start a discussion, actually a five-part program entitled Three Messages from God. And it's going to be an overview, a study of the three angels' message found in the book of Revelation. But first, I'd like to share with you a selection from a local artist that we've had in the studio before by the name of Bruce Moss, and he'll be sharing with us We're Going Home.
Trumpet call will sound and we will rise to meet the Lord together. We will hear the voice of heaven descending on the clouds. With a mighty shout he'll call our names out loud. Wake up all you people from the nations far and wide on that resurrection morning when the graves are open wide. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transfigures you and me when Jesus Christ the Savior sets us free. We're going home. We're going home where the streets are paved with gold. We're going home where we will live and not grow old. We will drink the living waters from the streams of paradise. We will eat the fruit of heaven from the healing tree of life. We're going home where life eternal reigns. We're going home where the blind will see again, and where all of God's creation will live in harmony. When the law of God is written in our hearts, we will be free. Wake up all you people from the nations far and wide on that resurrection morning when the bridegroom takes his bride. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transcends this earthly plane. Jesus Christ the Lamb returns again. We're going home. We're going home to a far and distant shore. We're going home where we will reign forevermore. We will dwell in mansions built by holy hands in the city of our God, the New Jerusalem. We're going home where the brightness of the sun will keep us warm. When the day of judgment comes, the darkness of this wicked world will vanish in the light. When the righteousness of day overcomes the sinful night. Wake up all you people from the nations far and wide on that resurrection morning when the graves are open wide. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transfigures you and me when Jesus Christ the Savior sets us free. So wake up all you people from the nations far and wide, on that resurrection morning when the bridegroom takes his bride. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transcends this earthly plane, when Jesus Christ the Lamb returns again, when the Holy Lamb of God returns again. We're going home. We're going home.
Welcome back to the program. In recent years, since 9/11, we've become very familiar with the term terrorist alerts. We hear them from around the world, whether it's in the United States, in Canada, Australia, the UK, the Far East. They seem to become regular news items to us. The Bible, too, gives us terrorist alerts in a very similar way to what we see taking place in our world. And here's the similarity. When we hear of terrorist alerts from around the world, they always seem to tie into an individual by the name of Osama bin Laden. But the Bible terrorist alerts identifies an enemy, a very wily character called the devil. In the worldly terror alerts, it always seems to involve a network referred to as Al-Qaeda. But in the biblical terrorist alerts, it refers to an entity called Mystery Babylon. And in these terrorist alerts that we hear from around the world, the CIA and the FBI provides these alerts to news broadcast stations so that the people around the world can be informed. The Bible as well, in the book of Revelation, has a warning message called the Three Angels Message, found in Revelation chapter 14, which is a global warning for what Satan is trying to do, what is coming upon our world. Unfortunately, most people around the world are very unfamiliar with this Three Angels message. And it's dangerous to say that this warning does not apply to us. It is like almost, you know, sticking your head in the sand, you know, ignoring the message that God is trying to relate to us. Now, when we discuss this program over the next few weeks, Mario Sarek is going to be in studio with us. So welcome again, Mario.
Thank you, Paul.
Now, every time God does something big, he always warns his people first. We see that throughout the centuries. When we look back in the days of Noah, the flood just didn't suddenly happen. Noah preached for 120 years mm-hmm. that a flood was coming. And even prior to that, there was notification that a deluge would come. So God gave fair warning that what was going to happen to the earth. If we look back in the time of Jeremiah and the exile of God's people, God gave ample warning what was to come so that God's people could be prepared. They could choose to follow the message or they could choose to ignore it through their own peril. And I think the most the best example we can use for this one is in the days of Christ. Christ did not just appear on the earth. God sent a special messenger in the name of John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, and what the Bible says. So whenever God does something big, a special message that first comes out to prepare the people. Mary, let me share with us some information about that.
I think you'll find out that God actually challenges us. It's the only book in the world, and it's a religious book, that actually you'll find this. You won't find the Quran or any other book. And I just thought I'd share this with our listener. Isaiah 42, 8 and 9 says something very profound. Isaiah 42, 8 says, I am the Lord, this is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And then in 9 it says, Behold, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now that's a bold statement to make, mm-hmm. that you can actually... Mm-hmm. tell things that ahead of time, and that could be reassuring for us to know.
Yeah. And God also says in his word, he says, I do nothing but first reveal it by my prophets.
Exactly. So God does not spring things on us. He actually, as a loving father, he show us what's about to come. So he wants to warn us through his messages.
Meryl, perhaps you can start sharing with us Revelation 14 in verse 6, where the three angels' message commences.
Okay, I invite our readers to turn to Revelation 14, 6 to 12. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Verse 8, And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11, And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest day or night, who worshipped the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Verse 12, Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Okay, there's several things there that we could start with, but I want to highlight just a few things that you read there, Mario. Mm-hmm. Something that's definite is that there's three distinct messages in there. There's the first angel, the second angel, and the third angel. In a few minutes, we'll discuss, you know, what the angel actually represents. But I think the first thing that really caught my attention there is the fact that this is not a message for a single group of people, a single denomination. In verse 6 there, it says, It's an everlasting gospel that shall be preached to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This message knows no boundaries.
No.
There's no escaping it. You know, you can try to deny it, but God is trying to direct this message at each and every individual on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is he trying to proclaim it to everybody, it says in verse 7 and 9, he's trying to do it in a loud voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a subtle message that, you know, can be ignored. You know, it's a loud message that will be very climactic. And there's no getting away from it. And he wants, you know, in a loving way, he wants everybody to receive the message because he knows it's for their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not to make anybody panic or to make them fearful, but rather to prepare him for his soon return.
Yeah, as I thought, you know, when you have fire drills, you don't have a fire drill. Say, no, it's a fire drill. You actually prepare people before that. We do that quite often, don't we, in schools and other workplaces, so people know that when it does happen, when we hear this, mm-hmm. we know and we can, you know, get out safely.
Sure, yeah. And this message is directed at men, women, children, mm-hmm. everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. 'Cause God appeals to the mind no matter what age you are.
Yes.
You know, the Holy Spirit can reach each and every person. Throughout the three angels' message, it makes reference to several spiritual enemies. We see the term Babylon mentioned, mm-hmm. the image of the beast, and these are sort of reoccurring themes that occur throughout the three angels' message, and there's significance to each and every one that we'll, you know, discuss in future programs. And I think the gist of all of it is God, in his wisdom, he sees the final crisis that's coming upon the world. He sees and he knows what the beast is, what the mark of the beast is, how it is to be enforced. So he sends a warning message, just like we see these, you know, terrorist alerts being broadcast around the world these days. And it's to wake people up, to prepare them to meet Jesus when he returns. Jesus is saddened to see anybody that's deceived. He loves each and every individual, and he wants to see them ready to meet him when he comes, because he wants to take them home with him. And in a loving way, he sends this three angels message, in essence saying, prepare yourself. I'm telling you now what's going to come upon the earth. Listen to me. Prepare. And there's so much information encapsulated within these three angels messages that in order to do it justice, we're going to have to spread it over a few programs. Because there's several themes that are discussed in the three angels message. It refers to the everlasting gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the everlasting gospel? What is the gospel? Judgment. What is the judgment? Why the judgment? We've talked about that in previous programs a bit, but you know, we want to look at this now from the perspective of the three angels message. The fall of Babylon. What is Babylon? What is the fall of Babylon? There seems to be a lot of emphasis these days on what's taking place, you know, in Iraq, you know, the literal Babylon that existed, you know, in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar and, you know, through the Bible times. Mm-hmm. Why does the Bible refer to that? And, you know, what's the literal or spiritual significance to that? The image and the mark of the beast, you know, that's a solemn message,
yes.
But yet it's one that, you know, God calls us to understand for our own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God's wrath, you know, can God be angry? Why does he have wrath? We'll discover that as we look at this three angels message. Now, for our listeners, Mario, we want, for their benefit, to understand what is the time frame that this three angels message takes place. Is there any indication from Revelation 14 that would put it in its proper time frame as to when the three angels message does take place?
Well, you just alluded in through when you went through it that a loud voice message goes to every kindred all around. So there has to be a time where this message can actually go around the globe. And we are certainly living in an age where you said instantaneous, you can pick up and use what's happening around the world. Second thing that you find in Revelation 14, that at the end of Revelation 14, as I share Revelation 14 and 16, it brings something very interesting. Just as these three messages has been given, we come to 14 and it says, "And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like on the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and his hand a sharp sickle." And in 16 it says that, you know, oh sorry, 15 it says that this sickle is harvest of the earth, is ripe. And in 16 it says, "And he said on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." So again, when you think of, you know, going out and harvest time, mm-hmm. something comes to mind where you gather things. And what does this, you know, harvest refer to? Well, I thought we can let the Bible interpret itself as we do. In Matthew 13:39-40, Jesus says, "The enemy that sowed them is a devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." Verse 40 says, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world." So definitely we see here that the three angels' messages precede before the second coming of Christ and the harvest of those who have been faithful to him.
That's interesting. Here we find the three angels' message and a picture of the second coming of Christ, you know, to claim his people as his own, all within one chapter in the book of Revelation. Mm. It seems that this three angels' message it happens just prior to his second coming. And thus the great importance of the three angels' message so that people are prepared mm-hmm. for when he returns. Now, when we look at the three angels' message, Mario, yeah. Is there any indication whether it's a literal angel or spiritual angels that this message is trying to portray?
Well, if you look in the book of Revelation, just in 14, but even other passages, as well in Daniel, there's a lot of symbolism being used to portray, you know, what's supposed to happen. And but I think a good one to look whether these three angels are, you know, literal or and what it means. If you go into concordance and look up the word here in angel in verse 14:6, it comes from the Greek word angelos, which means actually messenger. And something comes to my mind if you read Mark chapter 1:2, just it clarifies what this is. And as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thee, thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." And this is referring to John the Baptist. He was referred to as a messenger that was supposed to proclaim, you know, Jesus when he came. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, not only does it give us that that is messenger, but it says here in Revelation 14:6 that this everlasting gospel is supposed to be preached to every nation, tongue, and something that's being proclaimed and preached. God mm-hmm. uses his people, mm-hmm. you know, as mm-hmm. a messenger.
Yeah. So, John the Baptist was a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't an angel, little angel.
No.
It was God using one of his people to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, the word to preach is used in the three angels' message. So, again, this three angels' message will be proclaimed by his people to the world.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to using three literal angels to do this work. And it's interesting. God could use his angels to do anything.
Yes.
But yet he bestows that responsibility and privilege, really, to his people.
Yes.
You know, there's many ways he can bring about his work, but yet it's a privilege for God's people to be able to use them, you know, for God to be able to use them to do his work, to do his mm-hmm. bidding. When we look at the everlasting gospel, it's a term that can easily be glanced over without giving it any real consideration. When we talk, we often hear about the gospel being preached. And it's interesting, in Matthew 24:14, God says in his own word that the gospel will be preached before he returns. If I can mm-hmm. find it here. Where it says, okay, here it is, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in Matthew 14, we can see that the gospel is a global message. It doesn't go to just the Jews. It just doesn't go to the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to all the world.
Dear
because God. Each individual on this world is saved the same way, through Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
So that's why it's important that it goes to all the world. But in that verse there, in Matthew 24:14, it refers to this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 14 refers to the everlasting gospel. And it's interesting, when you look, there's a couple references in 2 Corinthians 11:4, which reads, another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So Paul, in the letter to the 2 Corinthians, has indicated to the people they have accepted another gospel.
Mm. You know? His life.
In his own time, yeah,
yes.
In his own time. In Galatians 1:6, again he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Wow.
So Paul well knew mm-hmm. that there was really a multitude of gospels being preached in his day. We are, mm-hmm. you know, well acquainted that there are many gospels preached in our own day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to a non-Christian, it seems very confusing because they say, how can Christians have so many different ideas or understandings or gospels?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches one.
Exactly.
One gospel that existed in the time of Adam and Eve, one gospel that existed throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
it never changed. It's the same gospel. And there's only one way through salvation.
Yes, the same salvation. As you remember in the Old Testament, it was the sacrificial lamb, and John the Baptist pointed to Lamb of God. So it was fulfilled in Christ. And all through the Old Testament, there was the same way. As people are saved in the New Testament or, you know, today,
yeah.
It's, you know, accepting Christ as their personal savior and his righteousness and his robe of righteousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no differences from the Old and the New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's gospels now that say that we're saved in our sins.
Mm.
There's gospels that are say that we're say once saved, always saved. There's gospels that say, you know, we're saved by grace alone and, you know, whatever we do, you know, has no effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very confusing and, you know, can really turn people off. But the Bible says that this gospel, this everlasting gospel of being saved by grace through faith,
mm-hmm.
of being saved from your sins, you know, a gospel that can transform an individual into the character of Christ, that's the gospel that Christ wants to reach the world with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these other gospels, which Paul refers to as another gospel, cannot be supported from scriptures.
No.
The scriptures are crystal clear. There is only one gospel. And that's the gospel God will have preached with clarity, prior to his return. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I am. Mm-hmm. Any other gospel by any other man is, fruitless. It's futile.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the gospel of Christ that does anything for us. Satan wants us to believe this multitude of gospels that are out there, but it's only to our detriment.
So it's using the word everlasting.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, you can count on. It's steady from the time that God spoke to it, and, you know, it's something we can count on. It's not something that fluctuates and puts us into confusion.
Yeah. God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not arbitrary. And all those who are his people that will gather with him in heaven will all be there because they're saved based on the one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crux of what this three angels message is about. Getting people to realize what the gospel is and what the importance of it is, and accepting that gospel, and that they have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is willing to work on their behalf to forgive them and to transform them and to prepare them for what lies ahead and for being ready for when he comes to claim them as his own.
Yeah, I just want to put in here that also God gives us a hope message, a hopeful message before he start showing us the deception that's out there. All the false things, you know, once they're identifying the Babylon arrest, he gives us the true message, and he gives us the hope that we have, that we can counter it. And then he goes in and exposes Satan and his deceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he gives us the original Bible, uses that as a litmus test for everything else.
Yeah. And if we accept and live by the gospel that he has given to us, we have nothing to fear.
No.
You know, it says perfect love casteth out all fear.
That's right.
And this loving message of the gospel that he gives us, we have nothing to fear for whatever Satan can throw at us. Whatever we see taking place in the world around us, we can be steadfast because of the faith that we have in Christ and the gospel he's given us and the assurance that he has given us. So our time has pretty well come to an end for this program, Mario. I invite everybody to tune in for the second portion of our program next week, when we will be looking a little bit further into this three angels message and the importance and the impact that it has on us. And if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to share with us on any subject, especially on this three angels message, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.